Fluffy and Fizzy Sports Lounge is a member of the Pulse Podcast Network. For easy listening of this and other great podcasts, download the Pulse Podcast Network app free from your app store.
Good afternoon, football fans. This is Drew Fluffy Coates.
And Philip Fizzy Barton.
And welcome to Fluffy and Fizzy Sports Lounge. How are you doing today, Barton?
Doing good, man. I think we got a pretty good show today. Before we get too deep into it, let me pay some bills real quick. if you enjoy playing daily fantasy, then download the Thrive Fantasy app. Use promo code ThrivePulse2, and they will double your deposit, double your first deposit. That is Thrive Pulse, one word, and the number 2.
All right, so if you're new to our program, me and Bart, we talk about three things on our program. We talk about beer, cigars, and some good old football, I guess. Now,
yeah, just really football.
We're primarily a college football program, but, you know, college football is, you know, just ended recently. We'll still put it in some news about, you know, college football that's going on around the nation. But we're going to get into some, you know, NFL championship weekend this weekend. We'll get into more of that later. So,
oh, yeah.
So we're going to start things off with the beer. What kind of beer are you drinking this week, there, Barton?
I'm drinking a hazelnut brown ale from River Rat Brewing Company down in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, so down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Not too far from me. Very malty, very nutty. Not a strong hop presence. Probably a good beer, like, to start with if you're just branching out into craft beers and things like that. Definitely a good beer, you know, and it's not too heavy either. It's only 5.4%. So a very good beer, you know, just typical brown ale.
Yeah. Brown ales are good though. They got that nutty flavor to them typically.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, it's a lot smoother with some, if they got like a little bit of bitterness. So with brown ales, I'm pretty cool with drinking those. Not all day, but, you know, a good six pack will do you good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good. I like to switch beers around like that, too. I can't.
Yeah.
It's hard, unless it's, you know, something like Miller Lite or Natural Light. It's hard to drink. It's hard to drink those beers like that all day.
Yeah. So so you're drinking that. I'm drinking a beer from Sweetwater Brewery. And it's actually down in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe. So, but we've been getting a lot of signs up here that say Sweetwater Brewery. I'm like, oh, did a new brewery just pop up around here that without me knowing this? Like, what the heck's going on? So, but I'm drinking their extra pale ale 420. And as far as pale ales go, you know, I tend to stay away from pale ales because sometimes they have this, they're too brash with the bitter, like the bitter taste sometimes. They just smack you right in the face with the,
oh,
like,
yeah,
with a bite to it. This one, you get it right at first, and it's not that it's tolerable, and then it gets smoother as you keep drinking it. So it's one of those beers, like, as far as pale ale goes, probably like the best pale ale I've probably had for a while. And
yeah,
I would recommend drinking this again, because it's not gonna if you're getting into pale ales kind of thing, it's something to get, kind of get yourself in, like dip your toe in the water kind of, as you would.
Yeah, that it's actually that 420 you're talking about is actually the first like pale ale that I started drinking. When I started, you know, trying pale ales and stuff, that was the first one that I found,
yeah,
that I actually enjoyed. Now, you know, as I've grown accustomed to the taste of pale ales, you know, there's some others that I like, but Sweetwater 420, that's definitely a good one.
Yeah. So we got the beers. What kind of cigar are you going to pair with your beer, Mr. Barton?
A couple weeks ago, you spoke of a buddy of yours that gave you a Monte Cristo.
Yeah, well, so you got one.
It inspired me. So I went out. I got a Monte Cristo White Label.
Okay.
Number 3. It is Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper. You know I love my Connecticuts.
You and your Connecticut. Dude.
That's what it's got. It's got Dominican binder, Nicaraguan filler. It's very smooth. But a little sweet, creamy, little brown pepper in there. It was rated a 91, which is a very good cigar, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend this cigar. It's a Monte Cristo. That's a, you know, it's a premium cigar.
Monte Cristos are just plain, just good cigars.
Though, oh yeah. Pretty much anything Monte Cristo puts out is going to be pretty good, but
yeah,
but you can expect to pay, depending on the cigar, Depending on the shape of the cigar, you know, whether you get a Corona, Robusto, whatever you get to, you can expect to pay $9, $10, $11 for this stick. But it's a good cigar. I definitely recommend going out and getting one.
Okay. Well, you're smoking that. I'm going to be smoking this Gurkha Beast. Mm. So I haven't had one of these in a couple of years or so. So, but I found this. I was just digging around my humidor. I saw this. It's like, I got one of these things? Heck yeah, I'm going to smoke this thing. And, like, I'm doing some research on it. Apparently, from what some of the reviews say, it's the Rolls Royce of cigars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to cost you that much. It's only going to cost you about $10 to smoke it. They on their website, it's like $50 for 5 cigars. So about $10 a cigar is what it's going to get you. I guess it has like the reviews are coming in about 4.5 stars out of 5, which, you know, that's a good cigar. As far as I can remember, when I first time I smoked it, it's very smooth. It's thick, so it's going to last you a couple hours. So,
oh yeah,
it's going to be like a couple 2-3 hour smoke. Which for me is fine because, you know, we're getting a warm front up here in Virginia, so I won't be freezing my nards smoking a cigar. So
yeah, I'm jealous of that. It's still pretty chilly down here.
Yeah. So we got the beer, we got the cigars. Now let's get down to it. We got some college football news going on this week. As I said before, we are mostly a college football program, but we will dip into, you know, since college football is over now, we will get into like other like NFL, obviously. You know, with the championships and Super Bowl coming up, and you know, off like whenever college football news comes up, that'll be our first priority to put out to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get right into it right now. We got transfers coming out this week, lot of them, with at least the three big name quarterbacks, you know, deciding to transfer.
Yeah,
and the one that probably doesn't surprise us the most, but is the biggest headliner, is Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I said this weeks ago on our podcast, like it would probably be the smartest move for him to transfer, especially like after, you know, he tried to beat out Tua this year, didn't work in his favor. You know, he's going as a graduate transfer. He'll be able to play right away next year. And he'll be able to show some scouts like he can be a quarterback. And, you know, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, both winning Heisman trophies back-to-back. He has the possibility of, you know, being a third Heisman Trophy winner. You know, he has the ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's going to an offense where he could flourish in. So how do you feel about him going to Oklahoma?
Yeah, smart decision. Like you said, a couple weeks ago you were saying that would be a good fit for him. It's gonna develop him as a passer. I mean, yes, mm-hmm. he's gonna be an offense where he can use his running ability, but it's gonna develop him as a passer. And I mean, they've shown, I mean, when you look at Baker Mayfield and like Kyler Murray, they've shown that their quarterbacks get drafted. And
yeah,
we'll see what Kyler Murray does, but Baker Mayfield has played very well this year. So
Rookie of the Year, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely a smart move. And when you only have one season left, you want to go to a team that can contend. You want to go to a team that has a chance of winning a championship.
Yeah,
and Oklahoma's built like that. They're built. They're ready to go.
And we've been talking on our show a lot about the Big 12, as far as like, you know, they don't play no defense in that conference, and they don't. But they can put points up on the board. You know, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield both have shown like they could be very talented players, and I think Jalen Hurts can just build on that with that program, and you know, build his draft stock up. You know, a lot of people are saying like this is him transferring there so he could possibly play, you know, Alabama in the playoff. We don't know that if that'll happen, but you know, a little added like little jab there saying like, hey, he'll always be loved at Bama for what he did there. He will always be a Bama guy, but you know, you do want to stick it to him a little bit, you know, saying, hey, I did beat you there.
And you know, talk about the Big 12 playing, not playing any defense or whatever. Like you just said, Baker Mayfield this year, like you said, a great season, possibly Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But then you turn around, there's Pat Mahomes, who's a possible MVP, two Big 12 quarterbacks.
Yep.
So, I like the move by Jalen Hurts, and it would be a nice little added bonus if they did meet up with Bama at some point.
Just that little jab. That's all you need. Just that little like poke. Just that little poke is all you need. So.
Yeah.
So going on from Jalen Hurts, we're going to Tate Martell. You know, he was Dwayne Haskins' backup at Ohio State. You know, Justin Fields transferring there. He's like, all right, I don't want to have to sit. They're probably going to end up picking him anyway because he's a high profile guy. They're accepting him to transfer there. He's basically looking at him not being able to even get a shot at the starting quarterback job, which I would be agreeing with him totally, 100%. So he's going to Miami down in Florida, and I think it's probably the best pick for him. I'm not saying he's going to raise that program up to any, like, you know, back to the early 2000s, you know, with Ken Dorsey back in the day. But don't make them respectable at this point, you know, because that ACC has just been so terrible.
Yeah, especially that coastal side.
Oh, yeah. Clemson just ran through that whole conference, like, not without nobody trying to help them out. So I think he can, you know, not saying he'll beat Clemson, you know, with that whole roster, but he'll bring him to a respectable level.
Well, it's also, you know, Manny Diaz has got to build. I mean, you know, Mark Richt brought in some talent, but Manny Diaz has still got to build. And in college football, you have got – if you want to win big, you've got to have big-time quarterback play. I mean, you look at the four teams in the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them had really good quarterback. Three of them had, you would call it, elite quarterback play.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, and he's a highly touted kid. There's not much film on him outside of, I guess, you know, garbage time and stuff. But he looks like he can play the position, and I think that's a nice foundation for Manny Diaz to start building that program back.
Oh yeah, and he has the ability. Like, if you've seen any of his high school tape, like, he has, like, he's dual threat ability. Like, I was talking on the show a couple weeks ago. Like, if Dwayne Haskins needs to freaking leave or whatnot, Ohio State would have still been very well off even before Justin Fields transferring there because of Tate Martell. I thought he would be able to carry on what, you know, Dwayne Haskins left off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he has – now, he might have to sit out a year, but that'll just give him a more time to learn the offense. And, you know, when he's ready to actually get it thrown in there, he'll be able to hit the ground running at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I think – I don't know if he's going to try to get a waiver. I'm not sure what – I mean, I'm sure he'll try, but I'm not sure if he'll be granted a waiver. But
probably not get granted, but, you know, it's worth a fight because with these waivers, especially, like, in his situation, the coach he wants to play for is stepping down. I feel like these kids should be able to go wherever they want to after that point. If their coach that they, you know, signed on to come to this college for decides to leave, that should be automatically able to play – wherever you're going, because you sign up to play for that coach, not the offensive coordinator, not whoever is replacing him. Like, that's who you want to play for, and he's not being able to play for him. Yeah, I totally respect the fact that he would be able to play right away at the next.
But you know, the NCAA, I think last year was the most I've ever seen them grant waivers. So maybe they're relaxing a little bit on that.
Well, they need to be.
Yeah, but we'll see. But at the end of the day, good pickup from Miami.
Yeah. And then you got Winbush, the quarterback from Notre Dame, you know, who Ian Book kind of took over for them. He's still got ability. I'm not saying he just lost to the better quarterback, you know.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame, you know, you talk so much smack about them through the season, but they still, you know, went, what, 12-1?
Yeah, they went 12-1.
That's respectable. I mean, they got, you know, handled by the national champions.
Well, so did Alabama.
Yeah. So, you know. But he's going to UCF, and, you know, with their whole situation with Mackenzie Milton, he might not be able to play next year with how bad he got his knee tore up. But that gives him to be able to play right away in Mackenzie Milton a year to just relax for a year to kind of get his knee rehabilitated. So it's a good fit if, you know, all the pieces fall in the line kind of thing. So
yeah, I think Wimbush plays, I guess, with the way he uses his legs. He's a very similar player to Mackenzie Milton in that aspect.
Yeah.
Josh Heupel, he's a good coach. He'll figure out a way to get the most out of him. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at Central Florida 12-0 again next year.
Yeah. But are they in the playoff?
No, absolutely not.
Sorry. Had to throw it in there. Well, yeah, UCF, you know, they're just going to run through that AAC conference. Like, there's not a whole lot of competition as far as that goes in that conference.
No, not for them. They're about like Clemson is. In that conference, they're about like Clemson is in ACC. So.
Oh, yeah. So, but, you know, you know, they'll keep making a name for themselves. You know, hopefully we'll get an 8-team playoff, you know, a couple years down the road. So
maybe we'll see.
We'll see. makes the most sense to me. I know. But we'll move on from that to, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, take a look, you know, he's declaring for the NFL draft. He basically told the A's, hey, pay me this amount of money or I'm going to go to the NFL draft. And it's a smart move by him. Like he, like we talked, we had this whole segment last week on him last week. We're just kind of touching base with him this week on everything. It's a smart decision because he can end up getting paid more than what the MLB would be paying for him, you know, just to play scout like baseball for the next couple of years.
Yeah. And to me, the smartest thing is that I think baseball is an easier sport to go back to than mm-hmm. what football would be. So, like, if he plays football 2-3 seasons, it doesn't work out, he can go back to baseball, which is if he goes to play baseball and he spends 2 or 3 years and it's just not working out, it's going to be hard for him to try to go play football.
Oh, yeah, because baseball longevity is a lot longer than football longevity as far as, like, your body and everything goes. Especially, like, for him, he'll be an outfielder. Is he an outfielder or a shortstop? I'm not exactly sure.
I thought he was an outfielder. I don't know.
But the only way you make, like, real good money, you know, starting out in the major leagues is if you're a pitcher.
Yeah.
And he's not. So, like, that's the only reason why I would say if he were a pitcher, I'd say go baseball all day because you can make so much money. I was watching a segment on YouTube again. This guy on called Flimmo Raps, he does a YouTube channel, talked about Jeff Samardzija. You know, you remember Jeff Samardzija, right?
Yeah, the Notre Dame tight end.
Receiver, by the way.
Well, pass catcher.
That dude, he was a stud. He was projected to be like a second-round draft pick in the NFL, but he went the baseball route. And he's probably a meteoric, you know, relief pitcher, but he still gets paid like $19 million a year to be that meteoric relief pitcher. So as far as pitchers go, like, they have dire need for pitchers in the major leagues, and they will pay an arm and a leg to get any kind of pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're good or not, they will pay you that kind of money for being a pitcher.
Yeah.
And unless you're a high-priced, like, baseball player, you're still going to get paid good money. It's the major leagues. It's still good money. But not to how much, like, quarterback money would be in the NFL, as far as the NFL is going.
Yeah, especially, you know, if he can go top 10, which I don't know if he'll go that early, but
I think he will.
You think he can go top 10?
I think he can go top 10. Well, Cliff Kingsburg, or whatever his name is.
Kingsbury, yeah.
Yeah, he's already said, like, he would draft him number 1 overall when he was at Texas Tech. Well, now he's Arizona Cardinals head coach, you know.
But they got a nice young quarterback. He's got Josh Rosen.
But, you know, he becomes trade bait at that point because, you know, there's other teams that are like, okay, we see him. If they're willing to trade, you know, for him, that just gives the Cardinals more leeway with everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you can't have too many young quarterbacks. I mean, let them fight it out through the preseason, and then whichever one doesn't work out, trade them, I guess.
Well, there's not a whole lot there in Arizona. So, like, for me, that would probably be the most realistic thing because they don't have a great offensive line, and Josh Rosen is very, you know, pocket quarterback.
Yeah.
So
they don't have a lot there at all. They don't Larry Fitzgerald, we don't know when
he'll retire.
Yeah, he's gonna retire. So
if you give a mobile quarterback to that offense, it just adds more threat. Not to say that Josh Rosen is a very terrible quarterback, because I think out of that class, I think he's got the more, you know, I thought he was the more pro ready. He just got drafted by such a bad team.
Yeah,
it's not the offensive line will make or break you in this league, and they don't have one. So that's what did David Carr back years ago. He was a first overall draft pick, and everybody considers him a bust. When he got drafted by the Texans, they were expecting Tony Baselli. they were expecting Tony Baselli there, you know, from the Jaguars. He was probably the best left tackle of that generation, and he never played a single down for them. And he got sacked 72 times in a season. That just ruins a young quarterback's, you know, like focus,
psyche and
everything. So I think I did a little bit with Josh Rosen this year, and that's probably why they are willing to draft Kyler Murray and get rid of Josh Rosen. And he'll probably do a lot better in that regards anyway.
Yeah.
So So we're going to move on from that. We're going to try a new segment here, folks, okay. Called Hot Takes and Clickbait. So so I'm sure everybody goes on their Facebook page and, you know, you're on you follow these certain sports websites and you click on these pages and it could either be something you're really interested in learning or it's just clickbait. You click on it and you're like, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah. So, the way I look at it is we're going to take people's quotes completely out of context, just a quote, and we're going to judge them mercilessly for it.
All right. So do you want to start or do you want me to start on this?
I'll go ahead and start because I think my first quote kind of blew up. I wrote it down. I think I saw it Tuesday night. And since then, it's kind of blown up. So you'll probably already know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So Tuesday night, former great – well, I guess he's not – he's a former basketball player, but current great Scottie Pippen.
Oh, God.
Basically, yeah, basically said that there's enough tape on Zion Williamson that he's locked down the number one pick and he should go ahead and shut it down for the rest of the season. And that if it was him, he would sit out the rest of the season.
I mean, that's a hot take to me because, I mean, it's kind of justified because we already kind of knew. Zion, I mean, if this whole rule where you had to play a year of college basketball or like a year out of high school to be drafted by the NBA was not in effect, he would have went number one overall like LeBron did.
Yeah. I agree with you that, you know, it is a bit of a hot take in this sense that Zion's only in college because they're telling him he had to go there for 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he doesn't – honestly, I don't think a lot of these one-and-done guys care that much all about winning a title or whatever. They're going because they have to go. So they go to a program where they're going to get all the attention. You know, yeah. Why do you go to a program? You know, if you cared about winning a title, I would think you would go to a program that maybe is middle of the road. You know, a program that you actually cared about and loved as opposed to going to, like, you know, Duke, North Carolina.
Duke, Kentucky kind
of
thing.
Yeah, I mean, they could win titles without you. I mean,
yeah. And they do it.
Yeah, and they do it. And, you know, and I think a lot of it, if I got to go for 1 year somewhere, I'm not going to go to, you know, some middle tier SEC program, you know, play it in front of half empty arena and my Saturday games at noon on the SEC alternate network. I'm going to go I'm going to go to Duke in North Carolina where I'm playing on ESPN prime time games, you know, and full arenas.
And in regards with Scottie Pippen, I used to love him as a kid. Like everybody talked about Michael Jordan back in the day, you know, obviously Michael Jordan is great, but Scottie Pippen was no slouch either. But like lately, like these last couple of years with his tweets, it's just been kind of really outrageous and like off the wall and everything. And yeah. I love Scottie Pippen to death. He was probably one of my favorite players as a kid. But in this regards, I will actually agree with him because like, Zion, like, you just see him physically. Like, he reminds me of Shaq when he was at LSU. Well, like, God, just so dominant. And he's actually more of a ball handler than Shaq was.
Well, you saw what Jim Boeheim said. Now, this isn't another tweet, but you saw what Jim Boeheim said in his interview about he said that he reminds him of a Charles Barkley, except a better shooter, and he's not as fat as Charles.
Damn, shots fired.
Yeah. All right, so hit me with yours.
All right, so I got two NFL ones this week. I know we kind of like try to stay on more college football, but I couldn't really find one this week. But I found two good ones as far as NFL is concerned. Okay. I think I have the best hands in the league. Who tweeted it?
I don't know who tweeted it. You got to tell me who said it. Anybody could have said that.
It's your boy, Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey. Okay.
This tweet, it was like an old tweet that he had tweeted. Uh-huh. But like, it obviously resurfaced after, you know, he made that crucial drop last week. And, you know, you kind of have to own up to it at this point. Like, he was obviously distraught after. And I get that drops happen, you know. It's just, that was a bad drop to have, man.
I'm going to call that clickbait. Alshon Jeffrey has very good hands, but he does not have the best hands in the league.
No.
I mean, I would put, you know, Odell Beckham ahead of him. I would put – I mean,
I would put probably, like, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Some very good hands.
Drama queen.
Well, if we're gonna go best hands in the league, right now it's still gotta be Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald still has the best hands in the league. I don't care how old he is, he still has the days. Like, I don't care. People could say Odell has the best hands. I'm like, I don't care. Larry Fitzgerald, if I'm throwing a ball anywhere near Larry Fitzgerald, I can guarantee he's either gonna be caught or he's gonna bat dang thing down. So
yeah, so Alshon out there throwing out all these clickbaits. He's just trying to get likes.
This is obviously way back when. That's clickbait. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. But, yeah, that was a bad drop to have this week.
Yeah, that was.
Because, especially since they were driving on New Orleans at this point. Like, they had been clicking on all cylinders. Nick Foles was about to work his Nick Foles magic on them, like you were been saying all day. And it was looking like, you know, it was looking like Philadelphia was going to pull off the upset. And it just. That just right off the hands in the Lattimore's arms, like it was just over. So
yeah. I'm gonna move on to my second one. We're gonna do two of these apiece.
Yeah.
So this was a tweet. Adam Gase plus Greg Williams plus Sam Darnold. Anyone know where I can pre-order my 2020 AFC Championship tickets at MetLife Stadium?
Ooh,
by our friend Colin Cowherd.
See, Colin Cowherd, man, I have a love-hate relationship with that guy. I really do, because he has some. He can boost off some. You know, like, okay, I get that. To like, what the heck are you talking about? Stuff like this off the wall stuff, but. I don't want to say he's not wrong, because it depends on, because they have so much cap room this offseason, and you know they're going to be drafting high again this year. Depends on how the draft goes and how they pursue, you know, free agency. You know, getting a Le'Veon Bell maybe, you know, that would help that offense. You know, because they don't really have a running game there, but you get Sam Darnold, another receiver or something like that. You know, and Greg Williams has a history just flipping defense around. Look at Cleveland this year. Cleveland was nothing last year.
I mean, Greg Williams, honestly, in my opinion, not to get off topic, we'll hop back on real quick, but Greg Williams should have been Cleveland's head coach.
Oh, yeah, I thought so, too.
But
the fact that they did hire him as head coach is criminal to me.
Yeah, but
he's going to turn that New York Jets defense around, and he's had success everywhere he goes as far as the defensive coordinator goes, and I can see that, you know, continuing there.
I'll go half of this tweet. I'm going to call clickbait because of the last few words. At MetLife Stadium, which means that they are more than likely
to win the NFC East.
They're going to win the conference, but that means they're the number one or probably number two seed in the AFC.
I've seen stranger things happen, and it could happen.
To host the AFC Championship game, that's But now, I do not – I mean, Adam Gase, I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's dealt a bad hand in Miami.
And Miami was just a terrible situation.
All around. Like you said, and Greg Williams is an awesome defensive coordinator. And Sam Darnold's going to be a really good NFL quarterback. So
you just got to get talent around
him. Yeah, I think it's there. I agree with about half of that.
It's a half statement. Maybe get them tickets for the divisional round. I think we'll go with that one.
Yeah, get them tickets to the divisional round, then we'll just play it, go from there.
Go by ear.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we're both kind of like half, like, I think we're like right in the middle on that one.
Yeah.
So.
But so, I'm going to call it clickbait just because of the last little bit.
Yeah.
But
I'll agree.
But I agree with him.
Yeah. It's hard. That's a hard one to say. So, all right, here's mine. A lot of guys could have thrown to receivers that were open by like 10 yards. He threw into zero tight windows, faced zero pressure. That was Max Killerman, you know, on the guy, that one of the guys from First Take.
Yeah.
And
Who's he talking about?
He's talking about Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah. He's talking about, you know, the GOAT, Tom Brady, saying like, oh, anybody could have did that. I'm like, well, not everybody does do that, so that's why he's considered the GOAT. Like,
Max Kellerman is a clickbait artist.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone
He does it to get a rise out of people, basically.
Yeah, I don't think any – I mean – anyone couldn't have just done it. If anyone could just do it, then they would. There would be a lot of better NFL quarterbacks because, you know, I mean, Tom Brady is the greatest of all time for a reason.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like there's nothing against Joe Montana or you know anybody else. Like I'm a Packers fan, and like you know, these last couple of years has been a huge debate on you know who would you rather have, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Sadly, as far as I'm a Packers fan concerned, like Tom Brady is like hands down the greatest. When you win these many just, you know, division championships, not to mention like how many times he's just been in the conference title game.
Eighth one in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's ridiculous that people are like, they even consider that Joe, like I get that Joe Montana, like won four without losing any. Well, Tom Brady has five, and the games that he lost, like, he didn't have the ball last a lot of the time. Like,
yeah.
They talk about the year they went 18-1. Well, the year before they went on that drive to, you know, score that game winning touchdown, Tom Brady threw a touchdown pass to Randy Moss that put them ahead.
Yeah.
Like, every time he's had enough time, like, I'm not talking about drives where you only have, like, 20 seconds to get a touchdown or whatever. That doesn't count as a drive to me. When Tom Brady needs a drive, that's the guy. When you need a drive in with 2 minutes to go, with four, you're down by four. I'll take Tom Brady any day of the week as far as any quarterback of all time in any kind of period. It just doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, Tom Brady doesn't play defense. I mean, he can't help if he goes out there and he throws for 500 yards and five touchdowns. Like, he couldn't help that his defense couldn't stop Nick Foles and the Eagles last year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean,
they had one punt all of last game. The Eagles had none.
Yeah.
Their punter got a game check for not playing one single down in the game.
Mm-mm.
Ridiculous. And then they still put the game on Tom Brady's back. Well, you should have did this. You fumbled. Brandon Graham made you fumble. I'm like, well, yeah.
Well, damn, he shouldn't have been in the situation to begin with. If his defense would have made it stop.
Yeah, like, and we'll get into more of this, like, when we talk about the NFC, like, the championship games. But, like, Tom Brady, man, like, I don't know why people crap on his day. Like, they say, like, they're cheaters and whatnot. This is the longest-running dynasty in NFL history.
Yeah, NFL's never seen anything like it.
No, and they never will. Like, as soon as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick decide to step down, like, it's going to be, like, you're going to see a new Super Bowl champion every other year. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
And people like hate the fact that they're in the championship or in that Super Bowl every single year. I used to like hate it at first, but I'm like, I'm just appreciating the greatness that we're looking at right now.
Yeah. Cause you're just appreciating,
just appreciate the greatness. I know you're sick of it for all God's sakes, but I'm a Packers fan and you're a Panthers fan. Like, we can appreciate the greatness that's going on right now. We're biased as heck. And we'll root against them if our team is facing them. But it's one of those things, like, we look at it, like, you're never going to see this. It's in our lifetime, this is happening right now.
Yeah.
So getting on to that, we're going to get into the NFL championship games now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we got, you know, New England going to Kansas City. And you got the Rams going to New Orleans. I think the Rams and New Orleans game is kind of like, it's indoors on turf. You know, mm-hmm. They both played there earlier in the year. We're gonna start with that game.
Okay.
What do you see going on with this game?
So I picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl.
You're gonna stick with it.
So I'm sticking with it. I feel like the Rams are the better team.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that, especially from Drew Brees' perspective, there's gonna be a little bit more urgency because Drew Brees has this year. I think he signed to play through next year, but after that, he's probably done.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a little bit more urgency. And I think Sean Payton, the coaching staff, everybody knows that around them. And I just think that playing at home.
You're going with the Who Dat Nation.
I'm going with the Who Dat Nation. not to shit on the Rams. I do think they are the better team, but I just think that more of a – maybe an emotional factor kind of plays into it for mm-hmm. the Saints. So I'm going to go with the Saints in a close one.
Yeah. It's hard to go against the Saints at home because they are, like, Sean Payton and Drew Brees are undefeated in the playoffs at home.
Yeah.
That's they're 8-0, I think, at home is what I saw. which is hard. That's very difficult to do. The Packers did it for years before we lost to the Falcons back in the day. But I'm going to go with the Rams in this one. And just for the pure fact that, like, if you can get put some pressure on that, on Drew Brees, you know, they have, you know, they got to keep Talib back. That'll help him out. And as overrated as I think Marcus Peters can be at times, he is still one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, put him man up on Mike Thomas, you know, at least make it. I'm not saying Mike Thomas is going to get shut down because Mike Thomas is a very good receiver. You're not going to shut him down.
No.
But I do think it's going to frustrate, make him get him frustrated, you know. And if you can get some, you know, stop the run game for New Orleans, I feel like you can win. And I think they had the front seven to do so. You know, obviously, you know, New Orleans won the game before.
Yeah.
But I think Rams flipped the script on it. I think they end up winning this game.
Yeah. It is hard to go against Rams, especially seeing how, after just what they did to Dallas. I mean, I know that score was kind of close.
Yeah,
but they really just pretty much dominated that entire game.
Yeah, I was watching it, and it was like the defense like had their number. And
yeah.
I'm not saying that the Dallas has the same offense as New Orleans because they don't.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, that just gave me a little bit more insight to see. Okay, I think they could take over New Orleans in this game. So
okay, so we differ on that one.
Okay, so. Going to New England, they're going to Kansas City, and the field conditions are already looking. I've been like reading reviews on like how their field is, like Kansas City's field's been. It's like it's an outdoor stadium. I love outdoor stadiums, and this time of year because it's cold, you know, it's wet a lot of the time. You know, it's actually going to be actual football. It's not turf; it's grass.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, who do you think has the advantage, and who do you think wins the game ultimately?
Despite. Kansas City, you know, putting up 100 points a game and you know, Tom Brady and all that. I think this game is going to be, by NFL standards, this game is going to be a defensive struggle.
Yeah.
Points-wise, the Saints, good Lord. Points-wise, the Patriots are 7th, I believe, in the NFL in points given up. And at home... We know how good the Chiefs defense is at home. On the road, for some reason they're garbage, but at home they've been a very good defense. And when you add that with some of the weather conditions, the field conditions, I could see this being, you know, again by NFL standards, a defensive game. I'm gonna go with the Chiefs though. Again, simply because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. When we first started our NFL talk, I said Chiefs, Saints, Super Bowl.
Okay, so that's fair.
I can't backtrack on it, but I'm going to go with the score prediction. Ding, ding, ding. Chiefs 24, Patriots 21.
All right, that's fair. And what you're saying is right, but like after seeing like what, you know, New England did to LA Chargers.
Yes.
I can't say San Diego Chargers. I can't get that out of my head either. So,
yeah.
Man, it's hard to go against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the NFC or the AFC Championship game, man. It really is.
It is. And
especially seeing how dominant they were last week against a Chargers team that I thought could beat them last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they just dismantled them. It wasn't even close. They had some garbage time touchdowns to kind of make it look a little bit better than it was. But, man, like New England, they're in playoff mode right now, man. I can't go against them right now.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm going with Kansas City is because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Because everything else is going against them.
Yeah. If nothing else, I said this when we started. It's tough to go against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost impossible to go against them. But,
you know, they want to talk about how many times they lost, but, you know, think about how many times they win.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
And I agree. It's another one of those situations. I think the Patriots are set up to win this game, but I'm sticking to my guns. I picked the Chiefs to go Super Bowl, so I'm standing by it.
You're a braver man than I am. So
I can't change my picks, man. I mean, if my two Super Bowl picks had lost in the wild card round, like, you know, some people's, then I might have changed some picks. But
Yeah, it's hard to go against Tom Brady, man, and Bill Belichick. They just they get their teams ready. And can I say my my boy James White from University of Wisconsin always seems to perform in the playoff time. Just letting you know. I just had to, throw that in there, but yeah, I'm predicting a Super Bowl 36 rematch with the Rams and the Patriots.
Okay, so right. I guess I'll take.
We differ on.
We differ on both games.
So, but I don't know. It's going to be an interesting weekend with NFL, and we'll still keep touching base. Next week with whatever we got some college. All-star games coming up. We'll touch base on those, like with their draft, with players' draft spot, like slots, or I guess.
Draft stock.
Stock. That's it.
Yeah.
But well, like I said, we're going to be more of the NCAA football, but we'll touch base with other sports here and there too.
Yeah.
So, but that's all the time we got this week, folks. For Philip Fizzy Barton, I'm Drew Fluffy Coach.
Let me add all the social media.
Oh, go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, so give us a like on Facebook, Fluffy and Fizzy Sports Lounge. Follow us on Twitter at Fluffy and Fizzy. And follow the Pulse Podcast Network at Pulse Pod Net. Give all those likes, retweets, favorites, kisses, shares, whatever. Whatever you got to do.
Swear to God, if you poke me.
Yeah, no poking. No poking. No poking.
No pokes. But I feel like that's all we got this week, folks. For Philip Fizzy Bard, I'm Drew Fluffy Coats. You guys drink responsibly. Stay safe out there. And enjoy the football that's coming up this weekend.
Cheers, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.